God has divine intersections where things meet at the proper time.
Dr. Tony Evans talks about how we can know when we're approaching one of those crossroads in life.
When God is getting ready to make a move in your life, something's going to show up that doesn't make sense.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of the Urban Alternative. Dr. Evans says when life gives you more than you can take, take communion. Today, he'll explain why as he talks about the divine intersections that connect us with God's covenant. Let's join him.
What we're looking at is God's intentionally allowing contradictions to come into the lives of his people in order to take them to a new spiritual level, to grant them a new spiritual experience and a bigger view of God than they previously had. In Exodus chapter 2, Israel finds themselves in a bad situation. Now it came about, verse 23 says, in the course of those many days, that the king of Israel died, and the sons of Israel sighed because of the bondage, and they cried out, and they cried for help because of their bondage, rose to God. So God heard their groanings, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God saw the sons of Israel and took notice of them. Now Moses was pastoring the flock of Jethro. God, through a series of events that took place in the book of Genesis, has led the birth of a nation to take place in a pagan land called Egypt. Israel began to expand as the 12 sons of Jacob began to develop in this foreign land, and they now found themselves hostages to the land of Egypt. They sighed because of their circumstances, and God remembered his covenant. A dominating word in Scripture is the word covenant. I want to take a moment to talk about it for a second because it is so dominating in Scripture, and yet it is appealed to very little, but it is probably one of the dominant keys to your Christian experience, whether you know it or not. God functions in history not merely personally, he does do that, but he also functions legally, or let me use another word, covenantally. A covenant is an agreement that God makes with men, whereby he agrees to do certain things on their behalf. We call those things blessings. I'm going to bless you to be a blessing, the Abrahamic covenant. And that's the covenant he's remembering now. God remembers his agreement. So if you want to think of covenant, think of a spiritually binding agreement between God and his people. A spiritually binding, or legal in the spiritual use of the word, agreement that God has with mankind. And he works with men in accordance with covenantal arrangement. There's an Abrahamic covenant. God is going to make a covenant with Moses, the Mosaic covenant. It's gone in detail in Deuteronomy 28 and 29. He says, if you do this, I'm going to bless you. If you do this, I'm going to curse you. This is my agreement with you. There is the Davidic covenant. That's the covenant with David, that the king would come through his line. There's the Palestinian covenant, the land of Palestine, what belonged to Israel, which is why there's so much conflict today. And then there's the covenant that you and I are aware of. It's called the New Covenant. God said that I would make a covenant with my people, referring to a covenant of the Spirit, the New Testament covenant, which is a whole nother subject. It's a spiritually based covenant that he would make with his people, whereby he would relate to them based on this agreement. There's a great story that you've all heard, and there's a piece in there that's missed. Every time I hear it mentioned, this piece is never mentioned with it, and it's the key to the story. It's in Luke chapter 18. You have to turn there, but in Luke chapter 18, Jesus says men ought to always pray and not faint. And he talks about the widow and the unjust judge. And it says that this widow kept nagging this unjust judge, and he wouldn't give it a request. And she kept nagging him and nagging him and nagging him and nagging him and nagging him until he says, this widow is going to give me a black eye or ruin my reputation if I don't do something. So he gave her request, it says, not because he liked her. He gave her a request because she was persistent. Now, the tendency is to preach that or teach that or read that to say, nag God enough and he'll, you know, he'll give you, you know, what you want, because that seems to be the point being made with his widow and the unjust judge. But that's because something is missed when you read the story. Two times in those few verses, the first nine verses or so of Luke 18, it says the widow went after the judge and nagged him concerning her legal rights. She wasn't just nagging him to nag him. She was nagging him because the law was on her side. And because justice was being demanded based on legal rights. I believe the word legal is used there twice. The judge found himself in a trick bag. He found himself between a rock and a hard place. He didn't like the woman, but he was obligated to the law. So the nagging that got the judge to respond was the legal obligation. You have legal rights in heaven. And those rights are by covenant arrangement. And when Jesus says at communion, do this in remembrance of me, he's not just saying, remember that I died. He's telling you to remember the rights associated with my death. That's why he says in chapter 11, this is the new testament or new covenant of my blood. So the communion table is not just designed for a spiritual moment, although that's included. It's designed for a covenantal connection to your rights. When it says that they prayed and they cried to God, and God remembered his covenant. He remembered his agreement. In other words, God is responding not just to prayer, but to prayer tied to covenant. And he tells us that. He responds to an obligation that he has made. It says they cried to God. One of the big issues in the Bible is prayer. Let me define prayer. Prayer is not simply talking to God. Prayer is earthly permission for heavenly interference. It is earth giving heaven permission for heaven to intervene in the affairs of earth. But that permission is granted based on your legal position, your legal rights, that you have a right to whatever God gives you a right to based on the nature of the covenant. So God remembers, but we're told that God remembers after they cry out. So they are crying out. This tells us what they're crying out for. They're crying out for God to be faithful to his covenant. So God then remembers his covenant, not in the sense that he forgot, but God now engages based on their cry for God giving Abraham a promise of a seed and a land and all of the things that were given to him. So they're in a crisis. So I wanted to say this. If you're caught in a situation that you should not be caught in, it says the word here is bondage. So this could be any kind of stronghold, addiction, anything that's illegitimately holding you hostage. You don't just want to pray for deliverance. You want to pray for your covenantal rights. There's a legal obligation God has to respond to you covenantally based on the fact that you have a legitimate agreement with him based on his word. Now, all of a sudden, prayer is not just a spiritual exercise. It's a legal meeting. It's a formal meeting where you and God are now getting together and coming to an agreement on the same covenantal arrangement. He remembered his covenant, holding God accountable in the right sense of the word accountable to what he holds himself accountable to, and that's his own word that he gave to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And God saw the sons of Israel, verse 25, and took notice of them. He saw the sons of Israel and took notice of them. Well, he always knew what was happening. He saw them now covenantally, not just knew what was happening. he was now going to engage with them when they interface with him, and the point of connection was the covenant. So I wanted to lay that out, because this is one form of being between a rock and a hard place in a bonded situation that you don't know how to get out of, but you know you shouldn't be in it, but you want to get out of it. Okay? You want to get out of it, don't know how to get out of it, you know you shouldn't be in it, and the thing that's holding you is stronger than you are. For the Egyptians were stronger than the Israelites, so it's stronger than you are. You can't break it. For whatever reason, the most powerful thing you can do is take communion. More powerful than 12-step programs, more powerful than personal counseling, those may have their place. Most powerful thing you can do to get out of a hostage situation is come to communion, because that's where God remembers his covenant. That's why at our church we have communion every week. Every Sunday we have a time for communion where people can come up before the Lord and relate to him covenantally. See, because the rest of the service, you're listening. You're listening to the choir, you're listening to the preacher, and maybe you sing a few songs, but no. You don't just come to church for that. You come to church for a covenantal connection to get heaven to respond to earth. That's what makes prayer powerful. What makes prayer powerful is this legal relationship you have, you know, along with the personal. The covenant included the personal, but it was also a legal arrangement. And so God took notice of them coming out of this legal obligation.
When Dr. Evans continues our message in just a moment, he'll tell us more about the story of Moses and why, with God, timing is everything. First, though, be sure to request a copy of Tony's current series called Believe. It's a powerful study on how to handle adversity, designed to help you sense how close the Lord really is and remind you that he knows what he's doing. Right now, we're offering all four messages in this CD collection as our thank you gift when you support Tony's ministry with a contribution of any size. Remember, The Alternative is a 100% listener-supported program. So without your help, there's no way we can keep bringing you this program each day. So don't wait. Get details today on Tony's Believe series by visiting us online at tonyevans.org. That's tonyevans.org. Or call our 24-hour resource center at 1-800-800-3222, where team members are standing by to help you. Again, that's 1-800-800-3222. Dr. Evans will come back with more of today's lesson after this.
Have you ever done a connect the dots puzzle? You draw lines from one numbered dot to another, and before you know it, a picture appears you didn't even know was there. Well, Tony wants you to have that same experience with the Bible. Through the Tony Evans Training Center, he'll help you connect the dots of Scripture and discover the big picture of God's kingdom agenda, all at your own pace, anywhere, anytime, on your computer or mobile device. There are courses on a wide range of topics and texts. Each one includes exclusive, in-depth content from Tony, probing discussion questions, access to full-length messages, and an online discussion forum where you can ask specific questions and get detailed answers. Visit TonyEvans.org today and connect with the Tony Evans Training Center, where you can explore the kingdom anytime, anywhere.
Now Moses was pastoring the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, and priest of Midian. And he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. Well, we all know the story of Moses, how he was supernaturally delivered as a baby, discovered by Pharaoh's daughter, raised in Pharaoh's house. He had an inkling, according to Acts chapter 7, growing up, that he was going to be a deliverer of God's people. But he was like a lot of us. He had a sense of destiny without the proper sense of timing. And so he tried to force something God had not unveiled yet. He tried to make something happening when it wasn't time. And he used human effort. He used human opinion. I'm going to talk about that Saturday morning a little bit more, so I won't get into it now. But he used human logic and human strategy to accomplish a divine goal. His goal was great, to deliver God's people. His strategy and timing were off. And that led to 40 years of exile. 40 years of exile on the backside of the desert, as it were. But now, I love the word now, because when you read the word now in Scripture, that means a turn is about to happen. God is making a spiritual link The link is between the condition of the Israelites and the development of Moses. God has been developing Moses by teaching him to lead sheep before he leads people, because the people are a lot like sheep, dumb. You know, sheep are about the dumbest animals you can create or God ever created. I had a guy who's a sheep farmer, and he told me sheep are so dumb that one sheep will start walking in circles and other sheep will follow it, thinking the first sheep is going somewhere. I mean, that's just dumb, all right? Which is why the Bible says all we like sheep have gone astray, all right? Just dumb, 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 all right? Well, he was going to be leading sheep, the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And so God gave him experience leading sheep. But this was also a time of his development. Moses was not ready. He had education. He had wealth when he was in Pharaoh's house. He had eloquence. He had all the raw material. But what he didn't have was maturity spiritually. And God is after our maturity spiritually. In fact, that's going to be the case of Israel. He's going to tell Israel, as you know the story, he's going to deliver them from Egypt. We'll see that in a moment. He's going to take them to the promised land. On the way, they got to go through the wilderness. Why? Because they've got to go from deliverance to destiny by way of development. That's what the first few verses of Deuteronomy 8 says. It says that I've sent you through the wilderness, through this great wilderness, to humble you, to see what was in your heart. So he takes them not from Egypt to the promised land. He takes them from Egypt through the wilderness to the promised land. That's deliverance, development, and destiny. And they do not get to destiny until there is development. And it took them 40 years of wandering for that to happen. Moses has been being prepared for 40 years. Little did Israel know that when they were groaning out to God, God was preparing the answer through the preparation of Moses. They didn't know what God was doing to solve their problem. Moses didn't know what God was doing by having him stuck in the wilderness. But God was doing something. He's now getting ready to make the connection between Israel's problem, Moses' problem, and he's going to solve both problems at a divine intersection. God has divine intersections where things meet at the proper time. It was at the proper time Jesus was born under the law. These are divine intersections or divine points of connection. Since you don't know what they are, usually, you can't force them. All you can do is proceed with your development and let God cross them at the right time. So they cross. Moses is at the mountain of God. He's at the mountain. He could have just said he came to Horeb. He doesn't want you to know he was just at Horeb. He wants you to know he was at the mountain of God. Why? Because the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, yet the bush was not consumed. Moses said, I must turn aside now and see this marvelous sight, why the bush is not burned up. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. He said to him, here I am. The whole lot here. Moses is doing his job, tending his sheep, but notice where he's tending them at this particular point. In the mountain of God. He's in the presence of God. He's in the vicinity of God. He wants you to know that Mount Horeb is in the vicinity of God. So he's doing everyday task, leading sheep, in the vicinity or the mountain of God. It's time for an intersection. What does he get? Here's what he gets, a contradictory situation. He gets a bush that will not burn. That's a contradiction. If a bush is on fire, it's supposed to be burning. He's got a bush on fire that does not burn. That does not make sense. It's against logic. It's against science. It's against nature. It is against fire. I mean, this doesn't happen like this. It gets Moses' attention. Moses sees something, here it is, that doesn't make sense. When God is getting ready to make a move in your life, typically, if it's a major move, something's going to show up that doesn't make sense. This doesn't make sense. Abraham yesterday killed my son. That doesn't make sense. But it was clear it was a supernatural event, not just another natural happening. So it wasn't just something that didn't make sense that was in the ordinary. It was something that didn't make sense in the extraordinary. I mean, this is outside of the human realm that it didn't make sense. Keep your eyes open for divine intersections. When God creates a scenario in your life, in your world, in your sphere that absolutely doesn't make sense, and not only doesn't it make sense, it's a contradiction, a bush that will not burn. That's a contradiction. Please notice something. Moses says, I must turn aside to see this sight. Instead of saying, oh, well, that's interesting. Oh, well, boy, never seen that before. He looks at his contradiction closer. He says, this must be investigated specifically. This must be something that deserves my fuller attention. Please notice the way verse 4 reads. When God saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush, Moses, Moses, and he said, here I am. Please notice that God does not call Moses' name until he sees Moses turn aside to look. Let me put it another way. Moses had to act before God acted. Much of what God wants to do with you will take place when you move, which will incite his movement. It says when Israel cried to the Lord, he remembered his covenant. It says when Moses turned, God spoke. And not just the when he turned, it's when God saw that he turned. When God saw that he did not ignore the supernatural. It is unfortunate today that in an overreaction to the abuse of the supernatural and the misuse of the supernatural, that we have missed much of God's activity. You know, we see so few miracles because we expect to see so few. We don't do what Moses does. He turns aside and says, let me check this out a little bit closer. Because this is a conundrum, this is a contradiction, this is something that is outside of my realm. I am in the presence of God, I'm in the mountain of God, so why wouldn't I expect in the mountain of God I see something outside of the natural? I should be exposed to the supernatural. And I'm not talking about weird stuff, but I'm talking about things that don't make sense to me that are outside of my human scope. Because if everything is inside of my human scope, then all God is another man. But since I'm dealing with a supreme supernatural being, then I should be expecting if he wants to make a major point, he's free to make it in a supernatural way.
And Dr. Evans will tell us more about those supernatural ways God communicates with us when he continues this message tomorrow. In the meantime, if you'd like to get the full-length version of this lesson, along with material we won't have time to present on the air, contact us for details about the title Trials and Promises. It also comes as a part of Tony's short but powerful four-lesson series called Believe. As I mentioned earlier, it's available for a few more days as our gift when you support the Ministry of the Alternative with a contribution of any size. Just drop by TonyEvans.org, where you can get all the details and make your donation online before this special offer runs out. Again, that's TonyEvans.org. Or you can call our 24-hour resource center at 1-800-800-3222 and let one of our team members help you. Tomorrow, more from Dr. Evans on how to be a living testimony to what God has done and continues to do, especially when we're stuck between a rock and a hard place. I hope you'll be with us. The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.